We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day you're listening to us. Welcome to another episode of Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I am Jason.
And I am John.
That's the man right there. We're going to say a quick little prayer. We'll get this geek started.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together and to listen to each other and really just to dive in and get to know you a little better. Father, help us to be reminded that this is just about relationship, Father. We want to grow our relationship with you. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for giving us obstacles, for giving us trials, for giving us opportunities to learn how to use our faith. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to do something a little out of the ordinary. I'm going to open with the dad joke.
Okay. Let's set the tone.
I'm just dying to get this out of the way.
Okay.
It's like...
Okay. Well, you got something good, you got to share it, right?
Yeah. So... my dad always told me that the shovel was a groundbreaking invention. It's so terrible that it's actually so freaking hilarious.
It is a groundbreaking invention. You're not lying, Dad. Dads are awesome in that way.
I couldn't contain it, man. As soon as I seen that, I just had to...
Well, so before we dive into the big stuff, you know, last week we actually had a conversation with Aiden, one of my sons, and I thought that conversation went really well. He was really nervous. He was really nervous, and honestly, I think he and I were both a little bit surprised that he did as well as he did.
Yeah,
I don't exactly remember what all we talked about, but
he made a statement. That he's very uncomfortable with talking with people.
Yeah.
And now me and him we haven't carried on a conversation ever. That was the first time that him, even like when you got up a couple times, me and him are still sitting here chopping it up.
Right.
And that was the first time that I'd actually had a one-on-one conversation with him.
Yeah.
And even he was surprised that he was able to sit and talk to me the way he was talking.
Right. He made a comment about being able to have a conversation while looking at you in the eyes, even like he was really comfortable with that, which is a little strange. We also talked about, you know, Elijah Tindall being at our church and some of the stuff and about how it motivated Dad. And Aiden was really taken aback that, you know, my dad saying things like him not having any purpose left or God was done with
him. His well is dry is what he said.
Right. And so, it went really well, but we didn't talk sports. Which has kind of become a tradition in recently.
I know. But this time, we do have some sports to talk.
What you got on your mind?
You know, screw the Vikings.
They took his quarterback. NFL draft was last week.
Yeah.
And he was very disappointed that J.J. McCarthy was drafted.
I wanted J.J. McCarthy, man. For everybody listening, I'm a diehard Broncos fan. My son is named after my favorite Bronco player. So it's a very, very – I bleed orange, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Vikings traded up one spot with the Jets. And the Jets weren't going to go after JJ. That's what was really odd to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, they threw other picks away to get him.
Yeah. But after – so I've been watching, and the reason that the Broncos weren't willing to lose any draft capital to go up to get him is because Bo Nix is actually fits Sean Payton's system better.
Mm, gotcha.
So once I heard that, because at first I was like really bummed out, you know.
Yeah, I know. I was watching it with you. You were not happy. No. After that, you were like, I'm going home.
Yeah. Immediately, like, yeah, screw this, I'm going home. But after seeing that, I really, you know, and Sean Payton actually I think NFL Insider.
Yeah.
I think I read it today. He actually talked about Bo Nix having the same mechanical features pass protection, reading the pass protection and stuff. He actually has the same characteristics as Drew Brees. That's what kind of
drew him to him.
Yeah, he was already kind of drawn to that. They did want JJ.
Yeah,
but they weren't willing to lose any draft capital. They knew Bo Nix would be there for them.
Right.
So,
well, you know who got you? It wasn't Minnesota that got you.
No, it was Atlanta.
Atlanta got you. Yeah. Atlanta. Can you believe that they drafted Michael Penix? They just signed Kirk Cousins to a $180 million four-year deal.
Yeah, and so I actually saw before the draft, you know, and all the mock drafts, they suspected that Penix would fall out of the top 10. Like, everybody right. was – they even thought maybe Bo Nix falling out of the first round.
Yeah.
So – it was that cascade. That once they did that cascade, everything fell apart from that point.
Yeah.
But I did see Spencer Rattler got to, he went fifth round, right?
New Orleans too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I think.
So me being a Cowboy guy, but also more of a Longhorn guy, Xavier Worthy going to the Kansas City Chiefs set the combine record for 40 speed.
So like they needed another weapon. And they just inked Kelsey to like this huge
contract. Yeah, the largest contract ever for a tight end. But think about it, man.
I don't get me wrong. I'm not a fan of the guy because we have to play him twice a year.
Right. You're a Broncos guy. Yeah. If he was on your team,
if he's
like
on my team, he'd be my favorite player ever. But it's well deserving.
Yeah, absolutely. He's produced.
They won a Super Bowl with zero talent at wide receiver.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
I mean, Rasheed Rice, whatever you say his name.
Who just got in a lot of trouble, too, by the way.
But that was basically Mahomes' go-to other than Travis Kelce.
And really no running game.
No.
To speak of. I mean, they have running backs, but they weren't running the football.
Just an odd sit. They did not look like the Chiefs.
But they won a dang Super Bowl, didn't they?
Yeah, back-to-back. Freaking – they may
win a third.
That was the nicest way I could.
Really, I know, right? I know.
Because I really wanted to say a whole bunch of alter egos to fornicate.
Well, being a Longhorn fan and for Xavier Worthy
to go there,
I think that's probably the best opportunity for him.
He's going to be Rookie of the Year.
He's definitely going to be in the conversation. As long as he stays healthy.
I'm willing to bet the farm right now. That's rookie. That's the new Rookie of the Year.
Dude, he can run routes. He is fast as grease lightning.
They're going to blow the top off of every defense that they come across.
Yep. And they got
Hollywood twice.
Brown too.
Yeah.
Both of those guys.
We
got to
play them
edge.
Twice. I'm glad we won one last year because we're going to go on an 18 game skid.
You're in the developmental stage right now of your team. My team being the Cowboys. Again, I'm a Longhorn guy, and they need a running back, and they were interested in Jonathan Brooks. I was hoping so much, and then Carolina took him way before we got to him. But they did what they needed to do. They built that offensive line.
Zeke is going back.
He is. He is. So that clearance sale Zeke Elliott jersey that I bought last year for $25, full patches, stitched, authentic. Yeah.
It's worth something.
It's valid. I could sell it right now for triple the price.
But. That's a good move on y'all's part because y'all really don't have a veteran back that knows the system, and that's basically solidifying the ground game with a leader.
They still need more ground game, but they built the offensive line.
But now you have an experienced veteran that knows your
He's Dak Prescott's best friend, man.
Yeah.
And he's a really good pass protector. He still gets tough yards.
Yeah.
You know, that goal line situation.
Say what you want about him.
Anyway, that's good. I'm again, you know, that's NFL draft stuff, but NBA playoffs, we got together to watch the Mavericks stink it up against the Clippers. That's the first game, Mavericks game, you and I have ever watched together.
Yep, but yep. Hey.
It's 2-2 right now.
I won my $100.
You won your $100?
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
Nuggets took the series.
Nuggets took the series last night. Ooh, I had a bet on that too. I had a guy that told me, well, was actually my boss. He said, the Lakers, after they won game four, the Lakers are going to come back and take it to game seven. I said, if that happens, I will lick the bottom of your shoe. And then they lost last night. Game five.
So it went two. So it's 2-2 now.
So game four, which we were up 2-1 at the time when we met on Sunday for mom's birthday, they were down. The Mavericks were down 31 and came back and tied that game, but ultimately fell short, lost by 4 points. But game five is tonight or tomorrow? Tonight? What's today?
Oof.
Today's Tuesday. Yeah, it's tonight. But yeah. They're in L.A., so it doesn't start till 9. And then I'm also a hockey guy. You know, I like the Dallas Stars. They were the number one seed. They went down 0-2 to Vegas in the first round. They came back last night and tied up the series at 2. They actually play at 6:30 tomorrow. I might actually get to watch that one and stay up and watch it. So, yeah. You said you've never really watched hockey, right?
No. I am not a hockey guy.
You should spend one day, one game with me.
I know. I've gone to our little
– the local team.
Yeah. Sorry. I was trying to find –
You're good.
Our
– Something on our social.
Yeah, it doesn't – no. I was trying to find exactly what time they played.
Oh.
The Mavs.
Yeah. Oh. It's at 9.
Okay.
But anyway.
Sorry to waste everyone's time with me babbling while I'm staring at my phone. But
I think, though, my dad and I were actually talking about it earlier. You know, like in soccer, how hard it is for people to score goals, right? Like, it's like it'll be a 1-0 game. It's not uncommon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But really, there's only like 10 or 15 shot attempts, actual shots on goal in any given game. So I think that hockey is much harder to score, but there's so many more shots that go towards the net.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you'll see a 2-1 game where there was 45 shots taken from each side that went in the vicinity of the net. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, when that horn goes off and there's a scrum and that horn goes off, it's so exciting, you know? And, like, you're in a one-score game with 2 minutes to go and the opposing team pulls the goalie and goes 6-5, so they got 6 skaters to 5, and, you know, trying to tie that game up. Like, it's an intense 2 minutes. It's
so they pull the goalie. There's not a goalie back there.
There's not a goalie, yeah. So they get an extra attacker, which gives them 6 skaters to 5 skaters, and they're trying to keep this dude from – or somebody from that team getting loose and getting a goal to tie the game or something like that. It's fun, man. It really is. And so, especially in Stanley Cup playoff time, it gets a lot more, obviously, there's
a lot
more stake.
This is that time of year, right?
Right. Dallas went down 0-2 to Vegas. Dallas is the number one seed. They went down 0-2 to the wild card, lost their first two games at home, came back and won the next two. They won last night 4-2. It's now tied back at 2. Game five is tomorrow at 6:30, I believe. If they win, whoever wins game five, I think wins that series. I think that's what's going to happen. Dallas is fully capable of winning the Stanley Cup, but they got to get past Vegas.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's a lot of fun. So, you know, again, sorry to waste everybody's time. I'm a sports guy all through and through.
Yeah, we could probably, I mean, I don't know that you'd want me to be part of it because – I only pay attention to my teams. I don't pay attention to everyone else.
Sure, me either, really. I mean, I will to a point, but
yeah.
I know some about all those things. But
that's
I'm
what
more.
I really appreciated about starting to get into fantasy football back probably – I mean, it was just coming out, and I was probably 15 years ago.
Yeah. Do you remember that fantasy league that I was showing you?
Yeah.
Of mine that's like 45 roster spots, no offensive line. That's basically everything else but offensive line. So that's one of the reasons I'm excited about Zay Worthy going to the Chiefs, because I feel like I can draft him in a late round. Because we do a rookie draft. We only get to draft the rookies.
Yeah.
I feel like I can get him maybe in a second round, third round situation and get a
– You really think?
I do, because I don't think that anybody's on him. You know what I mean? Everybody's on the other receivers that were coming out.
I think Xavier Worthy is going to – our draft is my league, it's so freaking off the wall. Like,
well, think about this. Roma Dunsey got drafted by the Bears, right? Which is – Roma Dunsey's a bad dude. But the Bears already had DJ Moore. And they just signed Keenan Allen. I forgot about that. And now they got Roma Dunsey too. And they just drafted Caleb Williams as well, a rookie quarterback. So he's got plenty of weapons, but there's too many weapons. So somebody's going to lose targets because of that, right? That's what I see.
It's going to be like, so do you remember? God, man, I can't remember who I was on that team.
Which team is this?
So, oh, my God. It's like, it was one of the Williams. It was Calvin Johnson. It was the Lions. But Detroit? It was basically like, remember like the Rams had
Isaac Bruce.
Cooper. Oh, no, when fantasy football was going, they had Cooper. They had all these wide receivers. But, I mean, they all got good numbers, but it was – none of them had, like, breakouts because,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
They were, like.
Yes.
I mean, there was, they had
they
too
were
many
chewing
weapons.
Each other's targets.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's how, remember, there was like that with Detroit. It was like.
I'm trying to think who played with Calvin Johnson.
It was a Williams.
Mike?
It was a Williams. Mm-hmm. But it was, golly.
Seems like they had that cat from Seattle, too, that chewed up some of Calvin's catches, too.
But Stafford was like – I mean, if you had Stafford, you were killing it, because that's all he was doing was throwing it deep. But he had like four or five receivers that were just –
they had no running backs, no offensive lines. They were just slinging it.
Yeah, just slinging it out there like crazy. That's going to be the problem with the Browns – or the Bears, I mean – That's going to be their problem.
I agree. Yeah.
They're going to have – they have all these freaking weapons. And
so I feel like I can probably
get – is going to be very, very – it's going to be very disheartening for Caleb Williams, because you know he wants to show out and he wants to be the performer that everybody's expecting him to be. And
I worry about Caleb Williams just in general. Like, I don't know. Again, being a Longhorn fan, I've watched him single-handedly take back a – Red River rivalry game against us, you know, where we were beating them by 3 touchdowns, and they benched Spencer Rattler and brought Caleb Williams in, and he single-handedly brought them back, you know.
Yeah, so what sparked him transferring to
Lincoln Riley? Lincoln Riley left. Lincoln Riley was the coach at Oklahoma. Yeah.
So he took
Caleb Williams. He took off with Lincoln when Lincoln Riley went to USC. Silly guys.
Running college football.
That coach situation in the transfer portal, coaches have been doing that forever. Transfer portal.
No, the transfer portal.
Different situation. And, you know, instant eligibility and all that stuff is what we're talking about. And, you know, and the ability to transfer every year if you choose.
Yeah.
There needs to be some more governing of that. I don't think it's necessarily ruining college football, but I think that you have to learn how to adjust to that, right? And the rules makers have to learn how to adjust the rules, right? I think a player – okay, let's put it this way. Nick Saban, you sign and recruit – you get recruited by Nick Saban, and you go to Alabama because you want to play for Nick Saban, and then Nick Saban leaves and goes to Ohio State.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Clearly, yes.
Same idea,
yeah.
Because coaches can leave whenever they feel like it, right? They can take another contract, or they can retire, or whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? And so, I think the players should have some freedom. This is their livelihood too, right? And this is their career. But, you know, it only matters to players that are really good.
But let me ask you this. Do you not feel like that gives them the tendency and the possibility of developing a habit of giving up in a situation?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Back when I was a kid, my mom strangled me for wanting to quit something that I started. No.
You're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least you're going to finish this.
Yeah. I think that's fair. That's a fair assessment, right? Like, yeah, we're teaching young men and young women now.
When times get tough.
If the situation doesn't ship. if the situation isn't optimal for you, you can leave. But I also think too, it's like a double-edged sword, right? Like there's two sides to the story. Like a kid that's been playing for a very small school, right? Like he wasn't highly recruited out of high school, and so he's playing at Sam Houston State, a tiny NCAA Division I school, and shows out, and a division, a high level Power 5 school is like, hey man, I like that kid.
Yeah.
I would love to have him on my squad. Why would you not want to take that step up?
Yeah.
And I see two sides to that conversation.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Enough sports.
Time to get down to business.
What business you got?
I kind of would like to address the issue of some of the comments that have come across some of our platforms.
Yeah.
Specifically, I mean, I'm not going to say no names, but the initials are YouTube.
Yeah. There was a couple of comments on there.
But I think more important than anything, I want to make a statement before we kind of discuss this so that everybody knows that this isn't we are not attacking or showing negative energy towards this. I want to open with saying, you know, very much so do we appreciate your input. And not only do we love you, God loves you just like he loves us.
Whether you believe it or not.
Thank you for taking the time to actually kind of interact with us.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I think a lot of people may be just trying to bait us into saying something so they can be like, aha, look.
Yep. Oh, look how Christian you are.
Yeah. That, my friend, is not going to work.
No. I'm not going to pay it any respect. I will say that I did let it get to me a little bit, and it made me have some questions, and it made me start to have not doubts about what we're doing necessarily, but doubts about things. And again, it got flipped on its head yesterday.
That's the enemy. That's the enemy getting to you.
Well, it's me allowing it, right? And like, right. I opened
allowing,
the door.
You're allowing one negative comment.
Yeah.
To impact how you feel about the things that we are currently doing.
Right. I let him win.
All right, that's the last time I'll interrupt you, I promise.
No, you're fine. I mean, this is a conversation, right? And conversations go two ways. And I'm not going to dignify the person's negative comment, and I'm not going to share the negative comment because it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is you're right. I was letting him win, and it got me in a weird place, and I was thinking too much. And again, I started thinking about, bless you. I started thinking about, I started having questions myself and having doubts of my own of man, am I letting myself be deceived? Have I let myself be deceived by this book? Am I trusting in humanity? Am I trusting in myself? If something was off, right? And then I start to have this moment last night while we were doing our men's group deal and watching The Chosen, which we've openly talked about many times. And this thing happened to me, and it was like, wait a minute. What are you putting your trust in? What are you putting your faith in? Look. The fact of the matter is this is not lip service for me. This is very real.
Yeah.
This is a very real thing that I'm very really trying to do and I'm very really passionate about.
Yeah.
Right? I love my God. I have a bro, for a man who has a broken leg or is hurt or dismembered or can't speak or hear or whatever, and for Christ to walk up to me, look me in my eyes and say, "I know you."
Yeah.
Bro, I know him. I know him. And people can look at me and say, "How can you possibly know him?" I don't care what you say to me. I know him.
Yeah.
And I know that he knows me. You know why? Because it's so deep in my heart, man. It's not a physical thing. It's like, it's so much I can't even put it in English. You know, I can't even articulate it. Yeah. And I'm pretty good with words. To know that God knows me, to know that Christ knows me, to know what Christ did, to know what he paid for me.
Paid the ultimate price.
He paid a price I'm not willing to pay. And he paid a price for me that I was going to have to pay. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not willing to pay it, but I was going to have to anyway.
Yeah.
Right? It's like paying your house payment. I don't want to. I ain't willing to.
You have to.
But I sure do have to or else they take it.
Yeah.
Right?
It goes with anything, anything that you're in a contract with.
I know everything that I was doubting, every feeling that I was having because of this negative feedback, right? And up to this point, again, you know what? I actually, something happened yesterday as well. It happened in the episode whenever Jesus was walking on the water and Peter was dealing with this situation. Now, I want everybody to understand, like, this is not a scriptural thing. Peter walking on the water is in scripture.
Yes.
But what he was dealing with him personally and emotionally is not in the book.
Yeah.
It's not scriptural. I understand that. But this is very powerful.
Yeah.
He's dealing with the loss of a child. He's wondering, why didn't you not protect my child? Why did you not protect my wife when you're healing all these people?
That you don't know.
You just fed 5,000 people. You called me. I've been following you for 2 years. I've done things that nobody else is willing to do for you. And yet you let my child die. You know what I'm saying? And that's questions that we all have. I've had these questions. I've dealt with that specific thing. And in this moment.
No, go ahead.
In this moment when Peter's like, "If that's you, call me out there then." And he goes out there. And he's talking to him, and he's having this mutual discussion, this one-on-one, just like you and I are having. And,
yeah.
And Jesus says, why do I give you trials? Because our faith can only be built through struggle, man. Yeah. How many times have we talked about this already? How can I have any opportunity to grow my faith if I don't use it? Everybody on the planet, if you're listening, if you're dealing with something, I'm sorry. And I know it sucks. If you're dealing with the loss of a child, if you're broke, if you got no food, if you can't feed your children or you can't provide light or you have no running water, you have no clothes or you're dealing with cancer or you have an emotional issue, they're all very real and I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
But they're meant for something.
Yeah. Oh, God, man. I know it's a jagged pill to try to swallow, and it's a very large jagged pill to try to swallow when you're talking about stuff like that, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
I know it hurts, and I'm sorry. I am sorry. I hurt, and I want to heal you, and I want you to be healed of whatever it is. I want that emotional pain. I want that physical pain, that physical struggle, that physical issue to be taken away from you. I want your financial situation to be changed. I want all of that to be.
But it will.
Things will
happen.
But what are you trusting in?
Yeah, a lot of people, I think the what gets people is they put the stress and the struggle on their own backs. I'm totally guilty of this too.
Whew.
And without giving up any and letting God do what he is willing to do for you, like put it on his, let him take the burden of some of that stuff and see just how quickly it turns around. And I'm not saying like overnight. I'm just saying when I say quickly, I'm saying if you try to shoulder that burden all on your own, you are never going to get through it.
Guess what happens? The exact same thing that happened to Peter. You start to sink.
Yeah, it's game over.
Because you're carrying a burden that you're not meant to carry. It's just like what we talked about a few weeks ago about our burdens right there on this table, in that knot hole right there. You asked me, you said, you know it's not even yours to carry, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute.
And it's also, we talked about the reason that we carry our pains is because it's comfortable to us.
Right.
It's something that we've been so used to doing for so long.
Right.
That it's not only is it baggage, it's comfortable baggage, which is the most dangerous kind because you're so used to carrying it that you, even though it's damaging to you, you still don't want to let it go because you're used to dealing with that. Like that's,
man, you know what? Carry that right back to like gym speak, right? Like just because you can squat 600 pounds doesn't mean you should. You're hurting your back. You're hurting your knees every single time you do it, but you do it anyway because you have the strength to do it. It's no different than this situation. We're talking about the same thing in not a physical form.
Yeah.
This is even heavier, though. You're talking about something that weighs down
spiritual.
Something that weighs down your mental spirit? That's heavy.
Yes.
Heavy stuff.
You're looking at, I mean, your psyche, your mental state, your spiritual state. Okay.
We talked about suicide rate last week.
This really is a very, very strong way of dealing with this stuff because you think of everything that it does to you when you just can't let that comfort, that comfortable pain go.
Yeah.
Dude, your head is being occupied rent-free by something that is damaging you.
And we keep feeding it.
Yeah. Feeding it freaking steroids with a golden spoon. You know what I mean? And I'm guilty.
Gosh, yes.
I do it every day. And every day I always have to check myself like, hey, this isn't you anymore. Yeah. Why are you tripping right now?
Yeah.
Like, why are you letting this, like, the one thing that I do care about, I really don't care what people think about me.
I really don't either. Yeah, I got you.
But I do, there's one thing that I care about. It's because I have such a tainted past. Like, it's a very tarnished past. I mean, I'm very disappointed in some of the, but I've also come to grips with the fact that that is what brought me where I am today.
Right.
But one thing that I really care what people say is when I'm struggling or just like I got in shape to go on our vacation in Miami, anytime any weight falls off my body or I'm struggling with something and I don't seem like I'm quite there mentally, you know, like I'm dealing with my own things, everybody automatically assumes, he's back at it.
Yeah.
They automatically assume that it's drugs, which
I've never thought that about you, just so you know.
I'm saying the people that
have known you for that, yeah.
From that past.
Yeah.
That's automatically the first thing that they jump to. That's the conclusion that they build about me is,
right.
Aha, I knew it. I knew he'd
fall back.
Knew
he couldn't hang.
Yeah. And what people don't understand is that as I'm going through all this stuff, and everything's happening to me,
yeah.
Whether it's good, you know, getting in shape, or it's bad, you know, dealing with mental struggles, whatever. As I'm going through all these things and I'm dealing with all this stuff, I'm also battling that, trying to fight falling back into that trap.
Right.
And it doesn't help any when people are just like, I knew it.
I knew you were going back there.
And you're not. Yeah. You're still fighting that. And you're like, man, you know what? Man, if I'm going to get accused of it all the time, why not? But there's that this is where things are different with me is I have found that new. Do you hear what's happening to me right now?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to me. Like, I'm like, all of a sudden I'm fixing to have like an allergy attack. Like,
I hear it. Yeah, your nose is running.
I'm sneezing, I'm congested. Like, dude, this happened like instantaneously. I don't know. I got, maybe it's my wife switched my laundry detergent or something. I don't know. But in dealing with all that stuff, with where I'm at now,
yeah,
I have somewhere to unpack it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, I call you. I've called you several times. Like, hey, yeah, man, yeah. I can't do this no more. You're like, hey, you need to calm down.
Well, and we unpack a lot of things at this table too, right? And like, not everything gets put out for the world to hear, but we decompress a little bit before we even start.
Yeah.
Generally, we kind of talk about our day, what's going on, whatever, whatever.
We're unpacking all our baggage, dude. We're leaving it here. That's,
right.
That's the
things that we've put out here. Like, it, yeah, again, we record a lot, and there's a lot of things that have come out and are put out into the world through our podcast and all that kind of stuff. But the truth of the matter is we spend time before we even get going.
Yeah, we spent quite a bit of time today.
Yeah, talking about what's going on.
I unpacked the last 2 weeks before we started recording. You unpacked the day, I unpacked 14. So.
Well, but sometimes, especially as men, we talked about this last night with our men's group, right? Because we're taking a little break, yeah. Right? Like, we all need a little... We need a break. We need to kind of, decompress and
get regenerated
and focus a little bit. Like, it's not a selfish thing. But you have to focus a little bit on yourself.
Yeah.
And not have so much pressure. Because believe it or not, there is pressure for all those things. Well, even this, there's pressure.
And listen, you brought up a very interesting point last night.
Yeah.
You do 90% of the work.
Yeah.
I feel like I do try to help shoulder some of that for you.
Sure.
But I'm at that burned out stage where I need me time.
Yeah.
I can only imagine where you're at.
Right.
You know, you head up our men's group and you head up our couples group and no one really brings any information to you. It's been a lot easier in our men's group because we've been on this chosen binge for a little while, which that helps. But the every other Wednesday, getting no feedback, no ideas, no anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I'm also heading, taking on a part of the responsibility in our how I serve at the church in the elementary. And, there's other things that I've got my hands on or that I'm involved in. Besides my professional life.
Well, besides being a husband, a son, father, a brother, a friend. I mean,
All those other things.
Look at how congested your life can turn really quick.
Yep. And it's okay to take a break. Like we talked about on our Bible roulette today about entering into his rest. What I mean? And like, I'm not that guy. Like, actually, and moments like these were where I really focus on that. Like I think, finding his peace and understanding the peace that comes from knowing him, the peace that comes from having relationship with him, helps you enter into that rest. Because it's something, it's not just a call. It's not like, hey, come and enter my rest, into my rest. It's, hey, this is a promise. You can enter here.
Yeah.
You can come and rest with me. You know what I mean? And like, there's something to be said about that kind of a rest. It's a spiritual rest, allowing your spirit to rest. Because I don't know about you, but my spirit's always in motion. It seems like that's my mind. You know what I mean? It never stops moving.
Yeah,
I have a hard time sleeping because my mind is always at work, and this is where the battle is fought, right? But my spirit inside of here gets weary too. It gets weak and heavy laden, right? And it says, like Christ says, come to me all who are weak and carry heavy burdens. He even says, my yoke is easy. You know what I mean? My burden is light. Just come to me. He's basically saying, let me shoulder that load for you.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not a selfish thing, but it's kind of a selfish thing, right? Again, I wanted to make sure that we expressed to our group that, like, look, we don't stop having relationship with each other just because we're not meeting every Monday.
Yeah.
So if you're struggling, don't not reach out just because you can't come to Monday.
Well, and I think something that's very important And I really probably should have addressed this last night.
Yeah.
But we, like, for us to have been all the group of us, it's seven of us.
Yeah.
To have been together so long, with the exception of Tanner. Tanner's relatively new in the past 3 months. With the exception of him, we've been a pretty tight-knit group. And Ronnie's probably about 6 months.
Six, eight months. I don't know exactly, you know.
But we're all still a really tight-knit group.
Yeah.
For us to be such a tight group, man, we're still really cliquish.
Yep. We do. We really do do that.
You know what I mean?
We kind of keep ourselves in little compartments.
Yeah. Like me and you, every day, multiple times a day. Bouncing things off of each other all day.
Well, this has a lot to do with that, obviously.
Well, not necessarily, because even when we are like Tuesdays, yes.
Yeah.
Now with me, with what I'm doing now as far as work goes,
yeah,
it's a little different. It's not quite as easy. I'm not quite as interactive with you on Tuesday mornings. But you look at... When's the last time me and you don't really get together and do fun stuff? Well, I mean, we do. This isn't like, not like this isn't fun, but like, I'm talking about
friend stuff.
Things that we, like, as married couples, you and sister and me and my wife, we get together Thursday to have a couple beers and watch the draft. We haven't done that. We haven't done the relaxing fun in quite a while. It's typically usually business. It's like we're all about business. Mm-hmm. And then we followed it up with Sunday. Mm-hmm. I mean, like we're starting to get into that. And it's like, why don't I reach out to Ronnie and do that with Ronnie?
Sure.
You know, I feel bad about it because I'm like, why am I like, I know I'm not as close to him as I am to you, but I still, if something was to happen to him, I'd be devastated.
Right.
I still care enough for him about like that.
Interesting. It's an interesting point.
But why am I not reaching out and being as interactive with him as I am with, like, say, you or Dad or Tanner?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a
fair question. I'm the same. I can't answer that.
I look at myself and I'm like, what's wrong with me? Like, I sit here, every Monday, I tell him, I love you. Be careful. I love you, brother. Be careful. Be safe.
Yeah.
Hope you have a good week.
Same.
Yeah. I do all that and then turn around and I don't talk to him until the following Monday.
Right.
How hypocritical of that is me? I mean, how hypocritical of me is that?
Yep. And that goes back to that conversation we had a few weeks ago whenever I was talking about reaching out. Right. Like, I will say that I've tried to be better at. Because, again, you and I have a different relationship now because of this. Like, this whole thing changed our relationship, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's very, very fair. Very fair.
There was no way that it wasn't going to, right? Yeah. Like, to be fair, we're sitting here.
We started on a really fast walking pace together.
Yeah.
And then this was like a catapult. Like, oh, look out.
and it wasn't, there's no way that it couldn't, right? Because
we're
sitting here under the hood having very deep, very real conversations with each other, being very honest with each other back and forth. And we've invited others in, and they're not necessarily comfortable with that. Tanner has, Kevin, our brother, has, but we couldn't air that because that wasn't something he was comfortable with.
Well, but there was also a different purpose for that.
Absolutely.
And he's going to listen to this, and he's probably going to be like, you mother...
Truckers.
Bears.
Well, but we love him, and we were just trying to help, right?
Yeah. As brothers, when you could tell someone's really dealing with something, we knew.
Yep.
We could tell, we could feel it.
Yeah. God, can you believe that was like 4 months ago now? That was before we even released our first episode.
I know.
That's crazy to me. Yeah.
Other than the length of time that how long this has been going on, like how many episodes we've dropped, how many hours that we've done, regardless of any of that, when I sit and I look at the the conversations that have been said, the level of openness and trust we have displayed towards each other, and also our guest. I mean, Dad was on here.
Yeah, my dad was on here.
And, you know,
Tanner.
Aiden, Tanner.
Yeah.
You sit and you look at the level of trust between the people sitting at the, I don't know.
Soon to be different table someday in the near future.
The rectangle table right now. But I want to make it Knights of the Round Table. That's what I really want to do. But,
it's Knights of the Octagon table.
You look at the level of trust and commitment between everybody and how everybody just really melts very well together.
Yeah.
This is life-changing.
It really is. And look, I'm gonna call out each by name because I want to make sure that they understand, because they're going to, I think they all listen. If they don't, that's okay. Tanner, Ronnie, Harley, Kevin, Mike, please understand, like, we love you the same.
Yeah.
This relationship is different because we spend so much time doing this, but we want you guys to be involved. We need your support. We know we can't grow without community, right? Yeah. And Art, bro, I've done things in that group that I'm not comfortable with. I promise you. I stand up in front of that group and I challenge them. Yeah. I challenge you. I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not. I don't like doing it.
You're good at it.
I'm but brave enough to do it, I guess.
going back a step with all of that is, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like I'm failing half of the group.
I get it.
You see what I'm saying?
I get it. I feel like I'm failing half the group too.
But I mean, there's no excuse for it. Like, I get that we are the reason that me and you are close. Me and Tanner are close because he worked for me.
Yeah.
And then
you spent close time to each other.
Yeah. Two. 8-10 hours every freaking day. And then sometimes when we'd get off work, we both went and took showers, and then he was back at my house for dinner. I mean,
yeah,
we spent a lot of time together and
in close proximity.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I understand that, and I understand ours, but I don't love any of our guys in our group any less than you.
Absolutely.
Or him.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
I would stand up for any one of them.
I'd take a bullet for any one of them. And I would lose a bullet for one of them. You know
absolutely.
What I mean? But
absolutely.
But it's not fair that I don't show the same.
Sure. Sure.
So
what do we do? How do we fix that? What
it has to, okay, so that's why I'm saying I should have addressed this last night.
Right.
Because we're fixing it. We're taking this break, and we'd all talked about, hey, not losing track of each other and really kind of, you know, this is going to be the longest break that we've had since I've been a part of it.
2 weeks is usually the most.
It's usually 2 weeks. This is going to be a whole month. Mm-hmm. It's going to be real easy to lose. I mean, you know, and hopefully we don't lose anybody as far as a participant in our group in the process, but it's not guaranteed.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think now is the most critical moment for us to be
more, like, you know, what
brotherly you're talking, soldiers for each other. You know?
You know what you're talking about is being more intentional, right? Which is what we've talked about, and I've challenged us and myself. I hope everybody understands that I'm not just calling you out. I'm calling myself out too.
Yeah.
Right. I fully understand that I have skin in the same game, and that it's not up to just Jason or just Kevin or Ronnie or Tanner or any you know, Harley, Mike, whatever. It's everybody equal participants here, and everybody equally has the responsibility to each other. And if you don't want to be a part of that, it's going to hurt me, but you should go away if that's the case. You know what I mean? Because this is real to me. And again, relationships develop differently, right? They do. I don't get to spend as much intimate time discussing things with Harley or Ronnie or even Kevin as I do with you. we've had some pretty deep conversations with Tanner under this hood that are recorded for people to hear. But still, I haven't had a whole lot of opportunity to spend mano a mano having those kinds of conversations. So obviously my dad, that's a, there ain't nothing that has been said here that he hasn't heard already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we're talking about being more intentional, and I should be better at that myself. And you know, what you're talking about, though, isn't just about always being serious. Yeah. You're talking about, like, the moment that happened at the end of that episode, that when the woman with the issue of blood was cleansed, and she went out to the lake mm-hmm. to be clean, to cleanse herself, and all of the disciples and Jesus showed up, and they're playing in the water.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about. Yeah. Fellowship, not just...
Not business all the time. Not like cut and dry. Like, okay, hey, point A, point B, conversation start here.
Challenge here, challenge there.
No.
Yeah, do better at that.
It ain't work. This ain't work.
Yeah, this is life.
This is love. This is brotherly love. This is friendship. Yeah. This is family. This is a group of men that we all know intimate things about each other.
Yeah.
That, like, I'm talking, you know, and I'm not going to put the business out there, but... For one of the members of our group, not too long ago, in a very tragic accident, lost his father.
Yeah.
He's
a young man.
He's a young man.
21-ish.
And you mean,
bro,
I can't imagine the struggles that this kid's going through. And I'm not being the person I need to be for him. You know what I mean? Like, I recognize it. I'm seeing it.
Right.
But I'm not doing anything about it.
So what do we do?
I got to do something. You know what I mean? Like,
well, and I think that's where it's kind of like something that Tanner said on 17, I guess, when the last time we talked to him, whenever I was talking about.
That was a cherry Coke for any of you guys that heard that.
About how I allow myself to do things and, you know, and all that stuff. And he's like, but you admit it, right? I allow myself to get out of hand with alcohol sometimes. I allow myself to slander and to gossip. I don't always use language that's uplifting and all that kind of stuff, right? But what you're talking about is the same thing here. We're openly admitting it. And the fact that we know it and recognize it means there's something we can do about it.
Yeah. I got to say this, though. You just said that you're guilty of gossiping.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, my friend.
Okay.
Not necessarily. Because me and you have both been put in a situation in our couples group
mm-hmm.
where things are starting to turn from what we're really trying, what the real purpose is. We've been in that situation where me and you, like, you've looked at me and you're like, I mean, like, oh, I know, like, this is, what are we doing? This isn't what this is for.
It's not what we're here for.
So you're not, for you to say that you gossip, no. Now, if you want to consider trying to diffuse a situation for a couple of minutes and like after a couple sentences, like, hey, whoa, if you want to consider that gossip, then yes, but that's not really what it is.
Yeah.
I won't let you sit here and say that you're a gossiper. That's not how you are. That's not who you are.
Right.
I know you will. No, you're not a gossiper. I know that it does happen. It does in conversations, people get sucked into a trap of, and then it's like, as soon as you realize it, it's like, oh, Whoa!
Yeah,
this is not what the purpose is. Yeah. So don't say that you're a gossiper. I'm not gonna let you say that.
He's very adamant about this. I'm not a gossiper. You know, and again,
we're a lot of things. We are a lot of things.
Oh, I'm a lot of things.
Imperfect,
in a lot of ways.
Broken.
Put a finger down. Are you broken? Yeah. Are you put back together with mud and guts?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I'm a jealous person.
Oh, I can be that too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm an angry person.
I'm definitely that too.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner,
but I'm also a saint.
I'm saved by grace.
That's what I was trying to go with that.
Yeah, yeah, you. That's exactly right.
I'm not. Oh yeah, I should have rephrased that. But you see what I'm getting at here.
Yeah. There's not a single one of us that's not any of those things. And that's not a one of us that's not a sinner. There's not a one of us that's not a saint in God's eyes, because we are made clean by the blood of Christ. And anybody who wants to come at us and be negative about that and talk negatively about my God's blood, about my Jesus, my Messiah's blood, you can sit on a chair and spin.
That's a good one.
Or alter ego to fornicate off, whatever you want to say. Listen, let me tell you something.
You can go violently penetrate yourself repeatedly.
Oh, we're so bad. But it's awesome. But I'm just saying, like, look, you can, it's okay if you don't believe. I love you anyway. Yeah. It's okay if you don't believe it. It's okay. I'm not going to hate you for that. But how dare you attack me when I'm just trying to help people and I'm just trying to love people? If we could just love people, how the hell is that bad?
Yeah. Well,
shame on me for that.
This is a slippery slope right here.
Oh, I know.
But I'm gonna put myself out there in a way I really don't want to, but I think that it serves the better
Come good boldly.
Of what's coming, you know. I'm very, very judgmental about the younger generation.
Oof.
And that's my bad. Look, I'm openly admitting it, and I do pray about it, and I always try to catch myself. And this, it doesn't mean that I'm talking bad about anyone in the younger generation. I'm openly admitting this is my problem that I'm dealing with.
Right.
It's not anybody else. I'm not saying nobody has done anything to me. This is my problem with how judgmental I am about certain things that happen in the younger generation that I'm astonished. I'm like, how could you possibly do these things?
Right.
I'm not going to get into any specifics because I don't want anybody to feel like I'm bashing anybody.
It's not an attack.
Like I said, this is a problem that it's my problem. Nobody has done anything to me. No one's attacked me. No one's, you know, no one's bad-mouthed me. It's just, I now get why my dad was so judgmental about people in my generation.
Right.
He wasn't judgmental towards me, but he was judgmental towards people in my generation. He's like, these kids here.
Yeah.
I get it now. I see it.
It's happened in every generation.
But it's me. I recognize that it's me.
Right.
I understand that it's me. It's my problem. It's my issue. No one, I mean, and it's not like I've been attacked or anybody has attacked one of my kids or my family or even bad-mouthed me or my family or my kids or anything. It's not that. It's just, I look and I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
You're getting offended at something, right?
Offended at something that doesn't even concern me.
That's definitely a choice, right?
Yeah. So, I just want to clarify that.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, it goes back to what we were hearing in church this Sunday and about starting with choice, right? He so eloquently described why free will is required, mm-hmm. and it's because real love. Love can't exist without choice.
Yeah.
And so
love can't exist without freedom.
Love can't exist without freedom. It's the most free thing that you can do is to love. Now, look, my response to things is my choice, right? And my happiness is my responsibility. It's not my wife's.
Yeah.
It's not yours. It's not the people around me. It's my choice.
It's right there.
It's right here. It's right there. Right? It's my responsibility. It's my choice to respond to something that I disagree with in a certain way. Right? Yeah. If I get offended by something that I see, I chose to be offended by that, right? And when
that's
we
that's exactly what I'm getting at.
I know. And when we recognize that, man, you're starting to take back control, right? You're starting to take back power from the enemy, because the enemy loves to implant those thoughts. He loves to latch on to thoughts and just replay them over and over, over and over and over and over again in a never-ending loop, so that you can't let go. And you know what? That's what happened to me with these negative comments and this stuff. Honestly, what we are challenging ourselves to do, also challenging our brothers in Christ that we have committed to, that we got to do a better job of
being there for each other.
Being there for each other, and not just there, but like actually spending time with each other, having a good time, you know, doing the things that we enjoy.
Yeah, not just the cut and dry in and out things that we are routine. Like, yeah, let's get out of the routine, and let's really kind of.
Yeah.
We did have that opportunity with Kevin.
Yeah, we got to go do something he loves. He's never been able to do.
It was.
We had a great time.
For considering how, you know, looking back now, I wish.
It was a one dayer.
I wish we would have done it. I wish we would have left that Friday.
I wish we would have as well. I think would have had a different time,
dude.
It was a great time the way it was.
I just me personally, I'm not speaking for anyone else. Me personally, my finances just weren't in the cards for that.
Not mine either.
But I think we would have had, even if we could have left Saturday, got down there Saturday, stayed the night, you know, gone out and I'm not gone out and partied, but gone to a little sports bar, had a couple drinks.
Ate some good food.
Yeah. Been checked into our motel, you know, and not having, because, dude, that's kind of what really got us was we drove all the way down there, and then immediately we're in the parking lot at the races, then we're in the races, then we're from there, like we didn't even get checked into our room till what, like 7:30, almost 8 o'clock.
Yep. As soon as we checked in, we went to dinner.
Yeah. And then we come back, went to bed. They got up at 5:45 the next morning and drove home.
Yep. It was awesome, but dang, that was
it was amazing.
It was a butt whipping.
Yeah,
it was a butt whipping.
Oh man, and I think that took some of the pureness out of it.
Yeah, it probably took some of the joy. It sapped some of the joy out of it, I would think.
But I will say, like, for the most part, like the trip down there was all giggles and fun. The trip back was all giggles and fun.
What would have been cool?
It just was draining.
What would have been cool if we'd have been there a day earlier is that when we showed up to the track, we could have spent time out front.
Yeah.
You know, where all the cool stuff was happening, where autographs are being signed and all the cool stuff. You know, we could have been out there enjoying that and you know,
we were just trying to get me in here and let me sit down.
Yeah.
That was the thing, is like our whole group was so exhausted. We were just
fantastic time.
Amazing time, though.
So this is, you know, this episode will be 3 weeks-ish from now, from Thursday. And, you know, hopefully our group will have listened to it. And I want to challenge them as well to like, help us, like, let's decide how can we develop that better? How can we develop our outside of Bible study, outside of our relationship with God, which, look, that takes precedence. That is number one.
That's where it starts.
If you don't
have a good relationship with God, you're not going to care about your relationship with your others.
Right. But we need to do a better job of
I think as leaders, me and you really are probably, sure. I mean, you, the senior leader, like the elder.
Right.
But me, I'm kind of like your sidekick. You know, typically you get on something and then I'm right behind you, like, yeah, we need to do that, and then everybody's like, oh, okay.
If it's a situation where, like, a once a month, we all get together and
throw something on the grill,
cook some food, yeah.
Even if we don't cook, just get together and not business, just
BS. Listen to music, talk, you know, whatever.
Chill on the patio and drink a beer and
enjoy each other's company in a different way.
Enjoy some snuff.
You're gonna do that anyway.
I know.
But you know what? And I hope that when they listen to this, they understand like that again, I understand this relationship had no choice but to change, yeah. right? And you know what? What they don't recognize is it could have gone the opposite direction too, yes. right? Like,
yeah,
it just so happens that we click in that way.
Yeah,
but it could have gone the opposite way.
I think a lot of, I mean, me and you now recognize this, but a lot of people didn't recognize just how similar we are.
Yeah,
we
might as well be the same dude.
We're the exact same. We just react differently.
That's right.
But we're the exact same. Yeah. And when you talk about damaged and broken and carrying baggage and all that stuff, we are carrying the same kind of things. We're dealing with the same kind of issues. In our minds, we're thinking the same things 99% of the time. We just react differently.
Yep.
When you're uncomfortable, you leave. When I'm uncomfortable, I act out. Yep. I turn into the. It's like the comedy show. You know, I'm. I don't know how to. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. I don't know how to.
Right.
I don't know how to process. Like when I'm uncomfortable, I just don't know how to process it. And
yeah.
I'm built in a way that I'm still trying to be enough of a people pleaser. I'm not just like out.
Oh yeah.
That's one of the differences yeah. between us. When you were uncomfortable,
I don't really care.
You don't give two shites.
I'm gone.
Yeah. You're Audi 9. You're like Audi 5000. Like it's over. It's game over. Me on the other hand, I'm still at that. I still have that much of me yeah. that it's just.
Yeah. That's just trying to make everybody happy.
Yeah. Just trying to just. But that being said, I'm also. I'm also such an anus that. I don't.
An orifice.
Yeah. An orifice. I had everybody going last night. I'm gonna drop this right here.
Well, but I think too, like what you're talking about, again, this comes with a choice. We have an opportunity right now that because we've recognized that there may be an issue, and it's something that we still have an opportunity to change, right? Because we recognize that there's an opportunity to change the situation, and all it takes is one degree shifts, man. A 1 degree shift over the cut of an 8-foot board, guess what? You're way off by the time yeah. you get to the end. It's just over the course of 1,000 miles, guess what? You're yeah. way different.
You're another town.
Destination, yeah. you know what I'm saying? So, hey, I hope that our brothers hear this and are motivated to help us change it. And you know what? You're right. As leaders, we should take responsibility and we should step up. But you know what? They need to be challenged to be leaders too, because they are. They are leaders. Yeah. They are men. Yeah. Oh, this is an interesting conversation.
This was not what was planned.
This
totally got.
Oh, I had a whole lot of other things to talk about.
But that's good. You'll have them for next time.
I know that's right. But it was awesome.
I do want to say one thing. Very serious note. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. We are meant to be disciples. We are meant to be fishers of men. Like yep. we are, this is what our calling is.
Yep.
If you know somebody, or if you are the somebody, or if you just don't know how to deal with something, reach out to somebody.
Even if it's not us, you can reach out to us.
You can reach out to us. It'll be discreet. Everything will be 100%.
You can hit us on Instagram.
Private. I mean, you.
Facebook, email.
If it's not us, if you're not comfortable reaching out to us, reach out to somebody.
Yes, please.
We love you. I mean, I can't express to anybody just how much it means to have people that actually rely on you and count on you to be assured that you're okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So with that being said, I'm going to pass this on to you, let you handle your business. But I just wanted to clarify that, you know, we love you. And if you need anything, or if you don't want to talk to us, talk to somebody, because your well-being means a lot to somebody.
Yeah.
There's somebody out there that you that needs you. So
I will say that every time that I hear that somebody has decided that there's no hope left and they have taken themselves out of this world, it hurts my heart, even if I've never known them.
Yeah.
Because I do believe that there's hope. And look, I understand that this thing that we're living right now is not the end. This is not the eternal. Yeah. But what's here is still worth it.
Yeah, and I don't believe that God's plan was for somebody to end their own life.
I don't believe that either.
I believe that the enemy got to you and he took away hope. He took away your peace. And you know, we all have a purpose.
That's right.
We all have a reason for being here.
Yep.
And that is not the purpose or the reason.
That's not. And if you're listening right now, you can reach somebody that I cannot, or that Jason cannot, or that somebody in our circle cannot. You have a purpose, and your purpose is to also be a fisher of men. We say men, but it's a fisher of people.
We're just speaking technical. The technical term is fishers of men, but it's
fishers
of people. Fishers of men and women, children. Yeah.
It's all of us. Yeah. It's people in general. So I've got a interesting. Enough, we were talking about choice, but also talking about change. And who better to quote? And again, I know we call this bumper sticker wisdom, but that's not in disrespect of anybody that we quote or anything like that. Rosa Parks.
Oof. This is going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good one. To bring about change, you must not be afraid to take the first step. We will fail when we fail to try. Thank you, Mrs. Rosa Parks. Go ahead and finish with another dad joke.
Okay. My dad said to a struggling singer, "Don't forget a bucket. You'll need it to carry a tune."
It's so stupid.
Confucius says, man standing on toilet is high on pot.
so bad.
Damn, we love y'all.
We thank you. Hey, hit us on any. We are on Facebook. We're waiting for a time period to change so that we can change the name to something that's a little easier. Right now it's John and Jason BSW. Instagram is bumper_sticker_wisdom. YouTube, Spotify, Apple
Podcasts,
Amazon Music, RSS.com, a few others. We thank you.
If
we
there's
love
a
you.
Platform out there that broadcasts podcasts, we're on it.
We're trying to get on all of it, too. We're even trying to get on Pandora and among others. And, you know,
we've talked about Pando.
Join us. Help us get better. If you got something to say, please say it. Even if it's negative, that's cool. We love you anyway. But we just want to grow this community, and we want to help you to grow your relationship with Christ. And thank you to everybody who listens, and we love you. I'm John.
I'm Jason.
See ya.